We all love a good Sunday session.
Frothy time.
Oh. And this Sunday session comes to you.
Oh, how good.
This is the Rush Hour Sunday session.
The best of JB and Billy
on Triple M.
Ah, I can smell it, Roo.
Oh, me too, Billy. I'm excited. The AFL season is just around the corner.
Nah, actually, I just let one rip. Vince, sorry about that. But funny you mention footy, Roo, because we talked to JB's brother, Mark Brayshaw, who heads up the AFL Coaches Association.
And he's got a very embarrassing story about our man, James. Oh, I don't call him Jim, James.
Yeah, speaking of letting one go. And also, I got a very, very funny joke. And we take a look at what's trending. Unusual.
But next, we talk to one of Australian cricket's finest ever batsmen, Greg Bluey Blewett.
Our next guest played 46 tests for Australia, scoring over 2,500 runs with 4 centuries and 1 dead seagull.
Smashed into the gap on the offside. The seagulls go flying again. In fact, one of them's down.
You can hear him on Adelaide's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars. But we thought we'd promote him up the order today and get him on with Billy and Roo. Please welcome Greg Blewett.
Well done, Bluey's on the A-grade team now. Don't worry about that. Rush Hour here in Melbourne. Great to have you on. And of course, Roo, you love your cricket and you probably talked about it. Your 52 not out the other week. But
how long have we got?
My greatest,
can we go there?
not yet, Roo. Okay. But I used to watch him. He'd get rock back on that back foot, and one of the greatest pullers of the agate I have ever seen.
He could cut the ball all right. Anywhere square of the wicket, he was. I used to write down a little team when I'd play in the backyard, and you'd try to bat like them. And Bluey got a gig in my backyard lineup all the time. Wow, very, very stylish.
Anyway, we better introduce him, have a chat to him. G'day, Bluey.
Hello, lads. Love the intro. And, fair to say, I'm still a good puller, boys. So,
we hear that.
Your reputation precedes you.
Brayshaw told us that. Now, mate, how's the rush hour going over there in Adelaide with Bernie, Bluey and Jars? All going well?
Oh, a bit of a rabble, to be honest.
Yes, we knew that.
You know, led once, if it's led... Andrew Jarman's our host, Billy. So
he's not the host.
He's the host. He brings us in and he gets halfway through saying something. He forgets what he's doing.
Remind you of it.
Sounds familiar. Sounds familiar, Greg. Hey, we should catch up just offline and have a talk about how we deal with these issues.
And then we've got, of course, we've got Bernie, who's off on maternity leave at the moment. His lovely wife has just had their second baby, a little girl called Olivia. So. I don't know. You've spoken to him, Billy, haven't you, about Bernie's beef? I mean, that is just a blatant ripoff.
Oh, it is. And it went for eight minutes and put everyone to sleep. It wasn't a beef at all. So hopefully he's sharpened it up a bit because it was no good there. Hey, speaking of hosts, have you seen your good mate? Bluey, James Brayshaw.
he's disappeared on me the last couple of weeks. Oh,
disappeared on you. Mate, we haven't seen him for 6 months.
Well, when Roo was announced as being on Triple M, I said, mate, what are you doing? Because the promo line was filling in for James Brayshaw when he's you know, not around. It was like, so he's basically full time with you now, Billy, isn't he? Because James just decides when he's going to work and when he doesn't, and he's only a football season man. Is that right?
Well, he is. He only does the footy. So March to September, that is all he does. Speaking of the footy, I like this, Bluey. You still doing any boundary riding for Triple M footy?
Blue on the boundary for Bob Jane T-Marts.
Clean belly, bill of health.
Ramsey, don't play that. Ramsey, you said it. Ramsey, you don't have to play that all the time.
Now, listen, Bill, that has been doctored up. It was nowhere near that bad. They've just gone to town on me. Now, I'm back on board this year.
Good.
Back on board, down on the boundary. Can't wait.
Jeez, you're doing a bit now, mate.
I know.
He's still playing. What are you off in golf?
7 days a week.
What are you off in golf? Because you are a gun golfer.
No, I've drifted a bit. I'm 1.5, I think. My
is. He's drifted. Oh, I don't want to hear it.
Righto, Roo, tell him quickly about how good you are at cricket.
Yeah, how long you got, Billy? I'll take you through ball by ball. So I made a 50-knot last week against the MCC. Did you ever play at the Albert Ground?
I did play at the Albert Ground. Yes, very flat.
Well, us real cricketers, that's where we play, Bill.
Oh, shut up.
Where what sort of a game was it, Roo, and off how many balls? What was the situation?
It was against probably, the blind and had a rattle in it.
Come on, Billy. You can catch highlights. They're on YouTube, Blue, if you want to check them out.
Hey, Blue, right, well, also I was interested to see, you want Steve Smith as captain again?
Yeah, I do. Good. Look, I reckon, you know, a lot of people can't believe that Steve Smith had nothing to do with what happened in South Africa. But my intel is that he was guilty of sort of maybe there was a suspicion that those two guys were up to something and he didn't put his foot down and go, you know what, whatever you're doing, don't do it. But it's not as if they went to him and went, this is what we're going to do. That just didn't happen. So
at the same time, you wouldn't have Warner back in as vice captain then?
No, I wouldn't. Nah, but I think Steve Smith was a bit of a fall guy. He did let the team down in some respects, as I just said. But I think he's done his time.
No, I don't mind that. Yeah. I think he'd be better than Cummins.
No. Well, yeah. I think he thinks he'd be better than Cummins too, based on his endorsement of him yesterday as skipper of New South Wales.
Hey, good on you, Bluey. Always great to speak to you, mate. And thanks for coming on the Rush Hour.
Anytime. Thanks, boys.
Nobody has their finger on the pulse quite like Billy Brownless.
Now, what are we doing?
This is the Rush Hours. What stories are trending today? Unusual.
Oh, Roo boy, has this segment just taken off? People listen in for this segment because they know when they hear this, it'll be trending.
Yeah, and it's unusual.
Unusual.
Yes.
Trending.
Yeah.
Hence. So this is over in California, only in America, but audio has emerged of a school board berating. So the school board were there. They were berating and threatening parents in what they thought was a private meeting, okay? So
private
the board,
Zoom.
Yeah, private Zoom, and they were talking to the parents. They thought it was private, but unfortunately it wasn't.
If you're going to call me out, I'm going to f*** you up. Sorry, that's just me.
They want to pick on us because they want their babysitters back.
We have the meeting open to the public right now.
Nuh-uh.
That's what Lori just said.
Great.
That's when they realized that the parents could hear them.
Yes, so the parents could hear them. It wasn't private. And guess what? They had to re-sign. Or resign. They didn't resign, they resigned.
They got new contracts. Everyone's getting a new contract. You're resigned.
Left the building.
You learn, and this is a lesson I learned a couple of years ago, but when you first come into the media, they tell you all mics are live.
Fine. Yes.
Yes, all mics are live.
Have you been caught out?
I haven't, no. Yep. But every year they send, every year as part of your sort of the induction in for people again back to start the year, they send out a clip from the last year.
Yep.
And it's always very funny. Hey, we're going to stay in California. This is California as well. What on earth is going on over there in the what do they call that state?
Orange County.
Well, what are the Florida's the
Sunshine State?
Oh, I think Florida's the Sunshine.
Well, this actually happened in Florida, I think.
I think this one's California as well, isn't it? We're going to California. Well, we're in Orange County, California, and so people are obviously very, very desperate to get the COVID vaccine over there because two young ladies, two 30-year-old ladies, took it upon themselves to dress as elderly ladies to skip the queue and actually get the COVID vaccine early.
No.
You know what you have done? You've stolen a vaccine from somebody that needs it more than you. And now you're not going to get your second one. So that's a whole waste of time we just wasted here on this. And we're not even sure if they're going to press charges against you and take you to jail right now.
So they put on gloves and glasses to look older.
Yeah.
So do you need two vaccines over there, do you?
Well, you get the first jab. Yep. And then as part of the completion of the vaccine, you get a second jab a few weeks or a couple months or whatever it is later on. But they were very, very desperate to,
go
and get the jab. Mrs. Doubtfire style.
Or as Bill would describe,
yuck.
Yuck. I love Mrs. Doubtfire. One of my favourite.
Good flick.
Yeah. Well, so 2 years ago, can I tell him this story? We got really serious on the radio show and we got this guy to talk about.
Professor.
Yeah, a professor to talk about climate change and he had a Scottish accent. And Bill said he sounded like Mrs. Doubtfire.
And he hung up. No.
We're very excited because tonight we're speaking to Brayshaw.
Yes!
James.
Jimmy.
Angus
Brayshaw.
Andrew.
Ian Sticks Brayshaw.
Oh, it's better than all of them. It's the AFL Coaches Association boss.
Man who missed his own 50th.
Because he's too crook.
He's too crook from the night before and didn't attend his own 50th birthday lunch in San Francisco.
We'll never leave.
Is that what he did?
That he planned for 6 months.
Please welcome Mark Brayshaw.
Our favourite Brayshaw. 32 games with North Melbourne, by the way, and has been the CEO of the AFL Coaches Association for 6 years. Maybe and is moving on. But, Mark, welcome to the Rush Hour.
Yeah, that, very funny thing. Nice to be here, gents. And
I remember that 50th because I saw you the night before.
Oh,
you were struggling. You were struggling.
It is entirely his fault. I remember somebody said, I think your brother's had enough to drink, and he said, no, he's all right. And I drink like a budgerigar.
Yeah.
I cannot believe it. And then it was Ned Kelly, the great Glenn Archer, bought me a beautiful gift. I just couldn't. Oh, God, I was so ashamed. And now everybody's heard it. Oh, goodness me.
Should have seen him out the front of this joint. Anyway, Marco, welcome.
keep it professional, Bill.
Exactly. 18 coaches you look after and all the assistant coaches. Mate, it's been a bloody tough year the last year, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, we started with 180 roughly and we ended up with 120.
Jeez.
So one in three didn't make it through COVID and that. And you guys know it happened in pretty much throughout footy departments as well. But my remit as coaches say, yes, it was difficult. The good news is, horrible, actually.
Yeah.
The good news is of those 60, give or take, 90% have found another job, which is a wonderful, is great for them. But it also just reinforces what I've always suspected. And that is that coaches are very good leaders and have got transferable skills. So most of them have found their feet and we've had a bit to do with a handful of them and we're helping those that are still looking, but it was a really, really tough year.
And is that part of the role of the Coaches Association then? So like players, when they finish and can get a little bit lost, is to actually go out and actually place them and help them find a gig?
So it's cradle to grave, Nick.
Right.
We have a little bit to do with the pathway to try and convince players and women and Indigenous, all sorts to develop a pipeline. The lion's share of our work is when the coach is a member and then critically afterwards. So, yeah, we have a very important role because a lot of these coaches have never put a CV together. They don't understand how the market works. They feel a lack of confidence at that time. If you're interstate, you're unaware of what might be going on back home. So, yeah, we have a very important role. In some cases, without it, they wouldn't have got a job, and in others, they deal with it without our help. But, yeah, it's absolutely critical, what we call transition. And we look, a lot of what we say is you've got this natural skill set that's transferable, but it'll be a hell of a lot more transferable if you can commit to doing some sort of study or a course or teaching or management or something or other. And there's some great stories about how that complements them as a coach and gives them a really good chance for a plan B afterwards.
Now, have you seen your brother James? Because he finished up here grand final day. He starts again apparently the March the 15th, I think it is. That's a nice, nice long break. And we have not seen him at all.
I thought I was coming in for one day, Mark. Yeah. I've been here for 2 weeks and we've got two other blokes filling his role as well.
Well, I have. He lives around the corner from me. What happens if... he's one of the most, for a flamboyant guy who takes himself seriously and looks good and all that, he's a real line and length chef, barbecue, meat and potatoes, literally is meat and potatoes, sausages and that. So I have seen a bit of him, but only when he comes around to my joint because I got all the barbecue genes, in the family. And seriously, he brings this wine, you go to his joint and it's very basic. So he needs to be... Seems to be okay, it's as I said, he comes to my house more often than I go to his. Yeah. But in fairness, he does bring some good wine with him, which makes the night even more enjoyable.
He does love his wine. He'd be with Bluey or Punter. He likes to put those Instagram shots up. Oh, come on, Jim, you flog. Tell us about his first day at school, young James.
Poor James. Look, he pooed his pants, Bill, on his first day. And spare a thought for me, because he was my little brother at that day. And, I mean, I was a vulnerable seven-year-old at primary school in Perth, and my little brother's pooed his pants. And the word got out. So, in fairness to him, school wasn't great, but it didn't get off to a good start.
Did he carry a nickname after that?
In the introduction next time.
We'll keep that little audio bit for his first day, I reckon.
Yeah, there you go.
Good on you. Hey, well done, mate.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, mate.
Bill, I don't know if you can believe this. We are just 20 days away from footy kicking off for season 2021.
Thursday night, 50,000 people will be there. Don't worry about that. That is fantastic. 20 sleeps.
20 sleeps.
Oh, your beauty. So we did this with the Greek wombat.
Sugar.
That's Joey. And he gave us a tip on who he thinks will play off in the grand final. He said it was Brisbane and Port Adelaide.
You said?
I went out on a limb and I said it might be Geelong and Richmond.
The grand finalists from last year.
So, Nicholas, over there, who do you think will play off in this year's grand final?
Ooh. Well, I mean, you're always tempted to pick the two teams that just got there, aren't you, Bill? Because they're in the best form and they finished the year the strongest. Oh, look, I think Geelong, with what they were able to... Oh, stop smiling at me. Let me finish. I think Geelong, with what they've been able to achieve in free agency this year. So to go and add Jeremy Cameron, we spoke about before, could they be the best forward duo since... Well, not Ablett and Brownless, but Dunstall and Burton, and Gehrigan Revolt, and Kosicki and Revolt, and Milne and Revolt. Then Geelong have just done so well, and they've retained all of their good players. They're experienced, they're hardened, they're hungry. Geelong, and probably time Richmond fell away. And to be honest, I hope they do, because I'm sick of Jack. He's becoming a real pain in the ass. Port Adelaide. Love Port. Love the way they go about it. Love Kenny Hinckley as a coach. So I'll go with Geelong and Port.
Okay. Interesting. And didn't go too far. What about the Coleman? Who wins that?
Didn't go too far off, mate. Don't give me the low key, play it cool, cats under the radar sort of thing. What was the question? What were you asking me?
Coleman.
Well, I reckon Tommy will split him around a bit this year with Jeremy Cameron. He'll probably get his Stevie J head on and try and become the real goal assist king. So I'm going to go with Charlie Dixon.
Big Chaz.
Wow. Yeah, he was in really good form to start the year last year. And I reckon he flew under the radar a little bit later in the year in terms of how bad his form was. He really struggled late in the year. So if he can recapture that early season form, big Chaz for the Johnny C.
Now, I've got a couple of teams here, and I want to know how they are going to go in 2021.
Okay.
The Melbourne Footy Club. They are due, Nicholas.
They are due. You're absolutely right. I was more bullish on them before they lost the big key forwards in Benny Brown and Wiedemann, but I still think they've got enough talent to finish. I reckon they're in that bubble, that 7-10 bubble. So might sneak in for finals or might just miss out.
What about Hawthorn? Everyone's saying they're going to slump and be down the bottom of the ladder. What are your thoughts on the Hawkers?
I agree with everyone on that one. I can't see personnel-wise how the Hawks are going to make a resurgence back up the ladder this year. I mean, unless they're onto something that I'm not au fait with, which I think is entirely possible, because we're talking about Alistair Clarkson, who's always a step ahead of the game, and their football club has been a step ahead of the game, but I think they're in for a little bit of short-term pain, probably magnified by players like Sicily, who's so important to them going down. So the Hawks to struggle for me.
Carlton. What are Carlton going to do this year?
They're going to play finals, Bill.
Oh,
it's going to happen. It's going to happen, Rabsy. Ooh, wow. I think this is the year. They've recruited well. They've got what they needed with those players, Saad and Williams coming in, a bit of pace. So, yeah, look,
I know a lot of Blues fans, they'll be pumped.
Yeah,
about that.
I think they're gonna pop. Mm. I think 6-8 for the Blues this year.
All right.
And Collingwood, because they had a big preseason. How are the Magpies gonna go?
They did, yeah. So big preseason, you know, in the news, obviously.
Yes.
Still, like, they released their leadership group yesterday, and it's a who's who. Mm. Like, a lot of really good, solid senior heads, experienced players. The fallout of, you know, Treloar dropping out and Phillips, I think that will hurt their depth maybe a little bit. But if they can stay healthy and get some games in at Dacos, who was really good through the midfield, and I still think they're a good chance to play finals, the Pies. So that bubble, a bit similar to Melbourne, if they can have a good run with injury, 7-10.
There you have it. Nick Revolt, who knows a bit about footy, Rabs. He's pretty good, actually. He's not bad.
He's a very good analyst.
He's a very good analyst.
And now, from the studios of Triple M Melbourne,
It's the Rush Hour's Hump Day Quiz. Here's your host, Billy Brownless.
Oh, yes, indeed. Quizzes Brownless here, and it's a good Hump Day Quiz this time, Roo boy.
They're all good. This is a great one.
You know what this one's about?
What?
Quizzes.
What's a quiz about?
The quiz is about quizzes.
Oh, like right. Quizzes. About quizzes.
Yes. We do have two boys here that are going to join us on the Hump Day Quiz, and we must say g'day to them. The first one is, g'day, Lockie.
G'day, Ben. G'day, Rui. G'day, Ratsy.
G'day.
And we've got Chris there. G'day, Chris.
How are we going, boys?
Good, mate. Who are you barrack for?
The Hawks.
Righto. Here, the first one is an audio question. You got to name this quiz show.
Chris,
yes.
Oh, Triple M's Rush Hour Quiz.
Oh, wow, on a technicality.
Actually, we give him that. Jill? Well, it is.
That actually is the theme
I'm
going to
give Chris that because it was Sale of Century. These boys mightn't have been born. How old are you boys?
32.
Yeah, they were around.
Yeah, Sale of Century. But it is also the Rush Hour Quiz.
It is.
So well done, Chris.
Well done, Chris. Clever. Lateral.
We got another audio question from Sale of the Century.
In the Navy was a hit song for the Billy.
For the Sherbet Band.
That wasn't the right answer. What is the right answer? In the Navy.
Maybe read him the question, Bill.
In the Navy was a hit song for which band?
Lucky, yes, sorry.
Village People?
Well done, Lucky.
In the Navy. Where I caught the tropical disease in the Navy.
We're two questions in.
That was actually you on Sale of the Century.
That was me on Sale of the Century.
How long ago was that, Bill?
That was a while ago.
Want to hear it again?
In the Navy was a hit song for the Billy.
For the Sherbet Band.
A little squeaky voice. How'd you go?
Well, I won.
You won?
Yes. Matthew, I was up against Matthew Richardson, Sam Newman, who's very smart.
Very smart man.
And Longie, Michael Long, who answered one question. So, but I, the quick money, I just went bang, bang, bang. I was too good, boys.
Oh, quizzes Brownless.
Oh, quizzes Bins Brownless.
So what's the score?
1-1.
Ooh. Well done, Roo. You're all over.
Sharp.
Number three, a multiple choice. So you may want to wait for the four multiple choices. Okay, boys. Which one of the following is not the name of a chaser? A, the Beast. B, Super Nerd. C, the Governess. Or D, the Smack.
Lockie. D, the Smack.
Because that's Brayshaw. Do you watch that? Do you watch the Governess, the lady at the end?
No.
You haven't seen?
No.
Or the Super Nerd. Nah. Roo. Another multiple choice here. You might want to wait for the four. Perfect Match. Did you boys remember that?
No. Nah.
What's going on with our quiz?
We've lost the plot.
Perfect Match was a 80s dating show. I reckon Warwick Capra was on it once there.
Oh, whiz.
What was the name of the robot? Was it A, Bins, B, Tin Ed, C, Terminator, or D, Dexter?
Chris.
No.
Is it B, Tin Ed?
No. You got a free shot here, Lockie?
I'll go D, Dexter.
Ah, yes. Well done. He's won. He's won this magnificent quiz. How good was that? Good quiz, that one.
Yeah, ripper. Real good stuff.
I've got to have a talk to you.
Toby, what do you think?
Oh, no.
Toby didn't like it. But first of all, we must welcome you to the show, Rabsy. Welcome to the show.
What did you say?
What did you call him?
Well, I was just commenting on whenever you and Clint are here on the desk, all I see are big white chompers because you guys are having so much fun. You guys are just smiling the whole time. I mean, no one has more fun than you guys.
Yeah. All right. Good to see you, Rock.
Am I out of here? The Rock. Can you kicking me out, chompers?
Rock, you're...
If you smell...
Yeah, I am now. Yeah, so,
Oh, Jimmy Guria. He had no idea. He had no idea what he'd said about the chompers because, but I'll tell you what, the cameraman and the audio guys and everyone in the studio, they loved it because he just doesn't like it, Roo. He doesn't like being called chompers.
I saw old Junior Fang, Nafe Brown. He said it's gone global now. So it's a global phenomenon, the chomp chomp. But he doesn't like it. And there was a stage there whenever you'd go on the footy show or any of those where they'd actually G you up to do it in the cross when they cross from the news before the footy show. They'd tee you up to actually go out of your way. And I remember Drew Petrie did it one time when he went, full knob. We got that, Razzie?
Yeah, we do.
All right, thanks for joining us, Drew, and we'll see you on the footy show tonight.
Thanks, chompity chomp, chomp, chomp.
Okay, thanks for that.
Gee, he used to get flat. We'd be sitting there on a Sunday and he'd get flat. But it happened a long time ago and he just had a bit of work done on him. But he had a nice little dusting and they were bright white. I remember the first time when he came in, they were just bright white. And we're all looking at him going, what have you done, Tony? Something's happened here. And then he opened his mouth. Oh.
So mid-March, Sunday footy show comes on. What's happening? First segment. What do you reckon gets played?
I reckon for the first three shows, Jimmy Courier, it'll be all the chompity chomp chomp stuff. Don't worry about that. We'll have a bit of fun with him. He'll crack the shits and walk off. And Naif, does he try and step up and host the show? He's in his chair before he leaves the stage.
You know it's time to call it when your mate thinks he's a comedian.
Very, very funny.
This is Billy's Joke on the Rush Hour Sunday Session.
I was woken up last night at 3 a.m. Yeah, woken up.
Yeah, right.
In the new house, and I get woken up at 3 a.m.
Yep.
Guess who? The next door neighbour in a very revealing lingerie.
Ooh.
Bra.
Yeah.
Thong.
Yep.
High heels.
You know what? Negligee.
And asking to borrow a cup of sugar. I said, off, Dave. I've got to work in the morning.
Bottoms up. That was the Rush Hour Sunday Session. And if you still want more, catch the boys live or on demand on the Listener app.
I feel good.